Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues. And we had our Due Time crew in the house, and we continued our conversation, the things that turn men off instantly. Now remember, the whole issue was instantly. Not that it just turned him off, but it turned him off instantly. Well, we talked about, if you had to be the center of attention. Now, this is one area where the Due Time crew was split. You know, one of our crew members said they were married to someone who's always the center of attention. So, you know, they're pretty much accustomed to that, so that don't really matter to them. But the other Due Time crew members said, no, that is not going to work. Now, unlike the week before, we had Pastor Charlotte in the house yesterday, so we got a female perspective of each of these points. And attention, and that would kind of turn the person off. Yeah. What about the lack of ambition, ladies? If you had a lack of ambition, would that turn men off instantly? Well, yep. That came through as another yes. Okay. So, when you talk about, you know, lack of ambition, so yesterday it came up that there was might be somebody who may, you know, not be in the way of owning homes, but could you bring her up or him up? Yes. You never know. Could be a man, could be a woman. Could you bring her up? You know, I really think that that's pretty subjective. You know? Because we talked about the projects. You know, somebody was in the projects, and I was trying to hold out, not say it, but listen, it is what it is. And you know, some people are not willing to, you know, date people who live in the projects or whatever. But you know what? We got to also understand that, you know, everybody doesn't have the same come up. So you got to be a little bit patient. And, you know, listen, where do you come from? You know, because God blessed you with, you know, that bank call of money, good credit, you know. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be at the same place in life. Okay? So, you know, let's hold that down. Let's hold that down. Let's not be so, you know, out of it and, you know, we do good and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you don't want to kind of be fake about it. All righty. What about a poor conversationalist? Well, Brother Al said he don't want to be sitting here talking to himself. You know, I can't imagine anyone on a D-Time crew who would deal with anybody who just doesn't have a good conversation, because the D-Time crew loves to talk. So I can't even imagine what the conversation or what it would look like at a dinner table if we were doing all the talking and you just sitting there looking at us. Nah, I don't think that would work either. So yes, that was a resounding yes. And you know, Pastor Charlotte likes to talk. So that surely ain't happening for her either. So, you know, what else? One more thing. All of you are demented kids. Well, that definitely turns them off 100%, because, you know, you really want to make sure that you don't always start arguments. You know, that takes a lot of energy. Yeah, arguing takes a lot of energy. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I can't really argue these days. My body just won't let me do that. No, I start getting all, you know, all hot and heated, and my head starts palpitating, and my heart starts palpitating, and my hands start palpitating. Yeah, I just get all turned around physically, you know, and we're older now, you know, so, you know, when you're younger, you know, you like a challenge, and, yeah, some challenges kind of go by the wayside, so, yeah, not the argument. So we had a really good conversation yesterday. We really did. They were funny. They were funny. So I advise you to go back and listen. Don't miss Monday morning. They definitely help you shake the Monday morning blues. Well, we could not finish off a Monday morning properly unless we, the switch tip of the day, and the switch tip with Shantish yesterday was, keep that thing before God. Now, several ways to take that, but I'm going to dive into, you know, when you have an issue, and, you know, maybe it might be something that you're going through with your spouse, or something that you're going through with your children, something that you're going through at work. You know, you want to keep that issue before the Lord. You know, you don't want to walk around and try to take care of this matter yourself. You don't want to ignore the fact that God can move, you know, and help the situation out. You don't want to walk around and just believe that, you know, there's not a source that's higher than you that can actually take care of this issue in an entirely different way. I'm going to take it from that angle. You know, keep that thing before God. You know, over the course of my life, I've had to, you know, take some issues before the Lord and, you know, kind of keep it there. And I have to believe that, you know, God has a plan for everything. You know, the Bible tells us that he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And, you know, if we don't believe that, you know, God can take care of this thing, these things. What are we relying on him for? What has he done that, or what hasn't he done that would not give us confidence? What? How has he missed the mark at any other time in our life where we may have been going through something that here's an issue that we don't put before the Lord? So, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, having anything in my life that, you know, I don't take before the Lord. I just don't. I really, really don't. I can't even imagine life without God. I can't even imagine God not on top of things for me. I just can't even imagine. And I'm going back to my former life when I did not have the faith level, when I didn't trust God, you know, the way I trust him now, the way I know him now, doesn't mean that he wasn't on it. And he got me through. Absolutely not. And I've learned that keeping something before the Lord is crucial to my existence. So, you know, I really, really just kind of get in the mode of knowing that, you know, I got someone who has my back, who's got my front, who's got my sides, who's over me, who's under me, yeah. Man, I tell you, I just kind of, you know, I know I'm talking a little slowly, but I'm just kind of thinking, you know, as I'm speaking about how God is so reliable. He is so reliable. You know, no matter what it is, if you take it to God, you will never be disappointed. He just does not do you like man. You know, he doesn't make a whole lot of promises. And, you know, when you look around, you know, he's not there. Or he's late. You know, no. And that's what comes to my mind when I think about, you know, that switch tip. You know, keep that thing before God. You won't go wrong. You won't go wrong, for real. For real. For real. You know, even in, you know, in times where my prayer life wasn't the way it needed to be, I can't say that he was the same, that he wasn't the way he needed to be. Man, if that was the case, we'd be all messed up. So listen, as a woman of faith and who has gone through so much in her little life, you know, I want to encourage you to keep that thing before God. You know, get that peace of mind, you know, that peace beyond your understanding, that peace that only the Lord can give you, that this world knows nothing about and this world cannot give you. You know, you will not go wrong. You will not go wrong. So, just trust the Lord. Well, we thank our Due Time crew and Shanti for our wonderful Monday morning. And today, today is Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. It is my 2 cents day. Yes, episode 6. And I got to tell you, there was a curve. Yes, there was a curve and a turn and a twist. and a shimmy and a shuffle and I want to get to talking about it. So go ahead, get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time, but Pastor Steph is on, and make sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
I paint the decorative contact lenses they use for characters in a lot of TV shows and movies, the kind people also use for costumes. You need to see a licensed eye care professional to get fitted and to get a prescription so you don't damage your eyes.
Like any contact lenses, the decorative ones aren't one size fits all. And if someone tries to sell you them without asking for a valid prescription, don't buy them. You can get infections, permanent scarring, and even blindness.
Unlike on American Horror Story, you can't replace your eyes once they're damaged.
Good morning, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, my Tuesday. And we're reviewing Kingdom Business, the series, the BET Plus series, and starring Yolanda Adams and Michael Beach and Saraya McNeil. And let's not waste any more time. My girl Shantice up so we can get to chatting about this particular episode. Oh no, I just said episode 6. It's episode 7. Where my people at? Y'all didn't even correct me. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, they're in La La Land this morning. It's episode 7. Please, please accept my apologies. And good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I'm excited. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. I want to get to talking about this episode 7. So, what you got, what you got, what you got?
Okay. I mean, there's different things that kind of stood out. I think one of the ones that really stood out to me was when the family, when Tosh called the family meeting and everyone was kind of like screaming over each other. And then CJ was like, okay, listen, I pretty much know what needs to be done because I see exactly where she's coming from. And it just really went to show, like, everyone is so caught up in how they feel, how they see it, that they're not seeing the obvious. And it wasn't until she said, you know, I know what it is to want to be seen. I know what it is to feel like, you know, I'm being pushed to the side. And it's like, all I want is acknowledgement. And it's like, oh, yeah, duh. And it just took you back to the previous episodes where it's like she's just living in the family shadow. And then it took me back to the episode where she asked her father to pray for her. And, you know, he prayed and then kind of just walked off, and it, like, there wasn't any real talking to her. You know, like, okay, I'm going to pray, and you should be okay now. And but she was still crying. You know, so it's just like no one is really paying attention to what's really going on. Everyone claims that they know how to fix it. But are you taking the time to really pay attention to how it needs to be fixed? Because even with her saying this, especially Danita, she was just like, yeah, okay, no, this ain't about you. This not, like, are you listening? The girl has the remedy. I think that really stood out to me.
Okay. Keeping in that same vein, not shifting to any other part, I found it very interesting that she said it was her friend, that Sasha.
Yes.
Initially her friend. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, again, like you said, I didn't even know she was even in the room. They never panned her on the camera. At least for me, I didn't see her. And all of a sudden, you just heard CJ's voice. And it was interesting because you were like, okay, well, you know, she actually does. I agree with you. She actually does have some idea. She is speaking from personal experience, you know, how you're so caught up in melee. You know, the melee is going on around you that you get lost. And nobody, you know, you're like the invisible person in the room, although you're in the room. So it's interesting that she felt she could identify with that. But I want to go back to the beginning of the episode, which I thought you were going to point out. I am so glad that this, what is Kirk Franklin's name? I don't even remember his name.
I forgot, and she said it a few times.
He did.
She said it a few times, and I can't even remember.
Me either. But I am so glad that this was like a punch, uppercut, left hook, a jab. He brought it. He brought it much different than when he first was on, you know, in this show. And
right.
It was real this time. It was really real this time. And he actually was pointing out some stuff. Oh my goodness, he actually pointed out some stuff. Well, you know, I'm not gonna go. I'll kind of let you talk, and our brother Angry has just checked in, so I'll give him a chance in a minute. But what did you think of that conversation? An exchange between Danita and whoever Kirk Franklin.
yes, she said it a few times this episode too, and I forgot also. I think I agree. This dialogue between those two characters was a lot more realistic than the first time when she had the first dream. I feel like it also, you know, really showed again. You know, when you push God to his limit, you know, and still we saw throughout the episode, it wasn't really like she really didn't push God fully there yet because there was still a lot of mercy shown on her part. But it really just showed like when God is saying, okay, this is what it is. And you're seeking the help. You're seeking the help and you're getting the answers. But because the answers are not what you want to hear, now it's like, no, that's not right. What do you mean that's not right? Anyone who knows about what it is to have a real relationship with God, you know, nine times, one of the main ways you know it's God is when it's contrary to what you would want to do. That's how you know it's God. When it's like, oh, I'm being nice to this person. That's God because he know I don't like this person. You know, or I would rather do this, but I'm being led to do such and such. You know that's God because I don't want to do that. So anyone who really has an authentic relationship with God knows that's one of the main ways you can discern if it's you, the enemy, or God. Because it's like, okay, I don't want to really do that. So he told her everything she wouldn't want to do. Well, right. You went to get the help. You know, you sought out the help. Here's the help. Now, were you really seeking this Like, what were you really seeking the help for? Because she was rebellious on everything he said. He was like, no, that can't be it. It got to be another way. If he's saying this is what it is, there is no other way. You know, obviously, you waited until, and one of the things that really stood out to me with that was, you know, God will really protect you until you keep giving him your behind the kiss, until now the only remedy is to expose yourself, which, if you think about it, was still working in her favor.
That's
because God
right.
could have exposed her. God
right.
could have exposed her. She would have had absolutely no control over it. He would have taken the hat off of everything. He would have uncovered everything all at once. It would have been slapping her in the face from every direction. She wouldn't have been able to catch her breath, but yet he still allowed her to have some type of control as to the timing. And so it was just, this has to happen now. You know, because even with Caesar saying, you know, okay, I'm going to drop, you know, the law side of it, you know, the injunction, I'm going to drop that, but I trust that you're still going to let it be public. You can still do it in a way that's comfortable for you, but it still has to be done. Where if God was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to just uncover everything, it really wouldn't have looked good. So that part really stuck out to me. Like, it really shows, like, God is, even when he says, okay, enough is enough, he's still protecting you. But it's like, are we going to keep pushing God until he gets to the point where he's just like, all right, now I have to allow it to happen the way you would want it to happen, because this is the only way you're going to really see that it's gotten to this point.
Absolutely.
She was just fighting everything. Like, so why are you in looking for the help?
Right. Let's see what our brother Ace has got to say. Good morning, Ace.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Shantese. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
Yourself?
Good. I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. We're talking about, you know, the opening where Danita goes to Kirk Franklin's character. Yeah, I can't think of his name. But her advisor or her dream interpreter, and, you know, him, you know, his telling, you know, him telling her, you know, that this is what it is. Well, what did you, we expressed the fact that we were so glad that the conversation between the two of them was not like the first one. That first one was so whack and boring, but this time the conversation was much better. The exchange was much deeper. And what was your thought about that dialogue?
I agree. I agree. The character Dwayne. Dwayne. Right. So I thought it was good because, you know, you saw more of the conflict. Because it's like, you know, when somebody come ask you for help, but then they don't want to do it. And then they don't want
right.
to do their part.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, so why are you asking? You know, you're looking for the easy way out. And, but, you know, because what line he said, you know, I just had to make a little note of it. You know, it's like, you're trying to negotiate with God, you know, like,
right.
no, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
You know, but what's kind of real about that, though, because, I mean, I'll keep it real. I think sometimes we always do that, kind of negotiate with God. You know, Lord, if you get me out of this thing, I won't do that again. If you get you out of it again, then next thing you know, you back in that same jam all over again. So it brought some kind of, you know, realness to it, but you know, that line there, you know, you're trying to negotiate with God, but, you know, no, it's got to be another way. No. And it was like, okay. You know, so I did like that back and forth, that conflict, because it was like, it seemed like the character Dwayne, you know, he tried to be humble, but he's going to get annoyed. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You come, you came to me. I was, I ain't coming. You come to me.
Right.
And you like what
right.
I say?
Yeah, so
it was good.
Okay. You know, Shanti's and Ainsley, one of the things that, I mean, it smacked her heart when she was asking him about her voice. And he said to her, God cannot allow your voice to represent his own. I was like, yes! Yes, I want to jump about my feet because it is so. Oh my gosh, it is so true. You know, you have a messy life. You've always had this messy life, and yet you're singing. And I think a lot of times we forget as preachers, as ministers, you know, singers, you know. We're ministering to people. We're speaking to people from the aspect of God's voice. This is what God is saying. And I think we understand the magnitude of what we've been called to do. And here you are. For you, it just showed that this has just been about singing to you. You haven't been living. You haven't been convicted by anything you're singing. All this stuff you've been singing, you are the queen. You have been crowned the queen of gospel. But yet, you have just been trashing God, his word, blah, blah, blah. And when he said that, I was like, yes. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. What did you think, Sean?
I felt the same way. I was like, ooh. Wow. I mean, that would have, you know, again, throughout the episode, you saw how God still had mercy on her, but that would have just, like, I probably would have passed out had that been said to me, because I took it as, like, God is like, I'm just shutting you down. Like, you've been playing too much. I'm not going to allow you to represent me anymore. Like, that's it. Like, your voice isn't worthy enough because you've been using it to be filthy and spiteful and nasty, and but yet it's like you're and there's a verse that says something like that, like you're using me and like my word, what it stands for your personal gain. But it's the way it's worded biblically that it's like, oh, you know, so it's almost like how you're not really it's almost like how I think it was last episode when Danita, yes, it was last episode, when Danita walked in the guy from who's doing Faith Night, who was promoting Faith Night. And it's like now you dropping a bomb that you singing with essence because you see that's the only way you're going to get up on that stage. And it's like that's what we do with God a lot sometimes. It's like, oh, I'm not relevant until you know that my status, my name, what I stand for is what's going to help you get over. And it's like, I'm not going to allow you to do that anymore.
Right.
Like, that's it. Yeah. So that hit me also.
Wow. What about you, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that comment?
I thought that was deep. You know what? It kind of brought me back even more biblically. It's like God was saying a change is going to come. There's going to be a shift here. Period. It brought me back really to Saul. It was like, okay, no, you can't do this no longer. And, you know, like some people get in power and think they, you know, get a certain status and believe like they're supposed to stay there. Like I earned it and that's
right,
this is where I'm at. And this is it. Take it, like it or not. And at the time it takes only for God to say, no, your time is coming. And you know why. That's the thing about it. You know why. You just
right.
You know, it ain't like, you just obey my word. I mean, what you think? You know, come on now. So you're out to a level, so it's going to be a deeper fall. You know, so it was real. That was really real. For real.
I got one more pin in that conversation, and I want to know what the two of you think about it. When he was giving her the word, she literally said, God wouldn't say that. And that is just so people. That's just so church folks. You know, it's like we have talked many times about how, you know, and Pastor Charlotte talks about this all the time, you know, how, you know, God is such the loving God, you know. He just, you know, there's no wrath to him. He doesn't get fed up. And you're like, yo, really? You come to this man for a word. And then you say, oh, God wouldn't say that. She was making me sick. I don't know about the two of y'all. I just wanted to throw a brick at the TV. I was just like, you know what? Just go ahead. Just go over in the corner and sit down somewhere and just deteriorate. I don't know, Ains. What hit you or how did that hit you?
You know, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, what's the word? Like, you don't want to accept what's about to go down. You know,
right.
like you just can't believe it. I mean, it was more like, it was like shock value. You know, really shock. It was like, oh, like, again, like I said, well, I got to this level, I can't be shut down. You know, I'm the queen of gospel. I done did all this. I'm here. I've been here all this time. You know, it's a shock value. You know, just don't want to, you know, accept it. I mean, realistically, I mean, some people really don't want to hear. I guess that's a normal human response. It's like, no, that can't be. You know, I guess, you know, I wasn't, you know, it's I think it's normal, but still at the same time, you know what you did.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
You know what you did, but I think sometimes we just don't want to hear that bad news, any kind of bad news, you know. We don't want to be like, no, that can't be. No, no, no. So, I think it's somewhat a normal reaction, but still, you know what you did.
John T, when you heard her say that, what was your thought?
I was like, oh, please. Because it is really the typical I'm blessed and highly favored person response. Like, again, so what were you expecting to hear? You went to someone with a troubled dream. You ain't go to someone and said, you know, this dream was amazing, but there were a couple of things I didn't quite understand, but everything in this dream was beautiful. And then now you get someone interpreting the dream and it seems so far, so left. It's like, wait a minute. How could it mean that if I was skipping through the field with the daisies and, you know, the angels was with me, and now you're talking about that means Satan get ready to come and snatch my voice. Like, no, you had a troubled dream, and it's like Ainsley said, and you've been a hellion. So why is it so far-fetched? Like, if someone was watching if they started watching this series on this episode, it would have made sense to them. It was, you know what I'm saying? Like, you came with and it was like one of those cliche responses which just turned me off. You know, it's like, oh, give me a break already. You know, but again, it's when you don't want to accept what you know to be true. You know, because these things have already been in her mind, you know, off and on, and she's just been trying to shut it out. And now with someone else, you know, especially this is someone she has a relationship with, but this isn't like, even though she doesn't have a close relationship with her husband, but it's not like it's her husband or one of her kids or, you know. So now someone else is saying this to me, and this has already been in my mind, but I just been trying to ignore it. And I was like, no, yes, God did say it. Yes, he's been saying it to you too. Yes, this is what it is. But it just hits harder coming from someone else because you can't shut someone else up the way you've been trying to shut yourself up when God has been trying to say it to
right.
you.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
I tell you. All right. So, Shanti's gave one of the things that stuck out to her. Anyway, I'll give you an opportunity. What else in this episode really stuck out to you that you just got to talk about? This episode was loaded, man. It was a loaded.
Oh, it definitely was. It definitely was. You know what? I don't know. To me, you know, it was like the pastor. It's to me, you know, despite all, you know, his like at one point, I think what's his name, Dunedin said he'd been slinging his thing for the past 30 years around.
She did it.
You know. But I kind of felt, though, that he really is trying to redeem, you know, he's really seeking redemption. He really,
right.
He really is trying to connect with his wife. I mean, because,
right.
you know, it seemed like he was really trying. Because at one point he says, just tell me I matter to you. I mean, like,
right.
You know.
Right. Right,
and I think when he was serving her breakfast and stuff like that, and then later on, you know, he said something else like that again, you know. So I think he was really trying, you know, despite all he had done, and
right.
Probably just did. He was seeking redemption and all that, man. There's a lot of stuff, though. I don't know if you want to get it, particularly at the end, you know, it was like, oh, okay. Oh, there's a final kiss between Taj and Rebel.
Yeah,
but
finally.
I thought, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, finally. But I thought it was going to, be... what's
the girl?
I thought
right.
Essence was going to be
yes,
the one.
I said, yes, I did.
That's what I thought, too.
I was like, where did he come from? Where did he form this night? So you're right, Ains. I was like, well, oh, here go Essence popping up. And then Taj, Z pops up. I'm like, go somewhere and sit out. I want to see when Essence pops up. I'm with you.
Yeah,
Ains.
I thought it was going to be the cat fight right there, man. I was about to say, oh, yeah. Tookie now.
I did too. And it's funny because when they kissed, I was like, okay, Shanti, she's been saying.
I'm like, finally!
Yes.
Over here yelling.
I was like, she's been saying this for episodes. I'm just waiting
hey.
For this kiss.
Yep. I'm talking about Shanti saying that too. Yeah.
Yes. First thing I said to myself, I was like, okay, Shanti's gets her wish. We got our girl Anika on the line. She wants to add her 2 cents. Good morning, Anika. Are you talking to the mute button?
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. This was a loaded episode. What you got?
Oh man, there's so many things. You guys touched on a lot of what I thought stuck out. I think for me too, with I thought his name was Ronald, but it's Dwayne. So thank you for that correction. I think the difference between the first vision and the second vision is what typically, you know, my pastor tells us is that when God gives us a warning to change and we think because we've been living in the mess so long that we've been comfortable with it, we can't believe that God will want us to do anything different. We've been able to prosper in the mess, and we take that as confirmation that we're doing something right, or using it as an opportunity to put the blinders on that I don't need to do anything more than what I'm doing, as long as it's benefiting me. So now here comes the second dream to confirm what she was told the first time, and you can't believe it. And like you said, you want to deny that that's what God is telling you now. And
yeah.
Now you're in a position to force to change because now it's affecting you directly.
Right.
Now your voice is being affected. You was all these years you've been able to do all your mess, do what you wanted to do, get to where you want to, and it didn't affect you. Now it's affecting you. Now you want to change. Now you're starting to think secondly about it. And I think that unfortunately speaks to us where, you know, how long, how hard does God have to smash us before we pay attention?
Absolutely.
Even with all that we know and we're singing and what we're trying to portray, none of that affects you until it affects you personally.
It hits you where it hurts.
Exactly. So when she would have had an opportunity years before or even before the second dream, she still didn't want to change the status quo of her life, if you will.
Yes.
The thing that stuck out to me was I think Rebel realizes that I think Danny is her way of showing that she doesn't want to be only known as what that was either. I think sitting, when she walked away from the music and then she went with Z to his stuff and it came back when Caesar gave her back an opportunity, realizing that Z was the one that put her on the pole or was okay with her doing all of that stuff.
Yeah,
and she was the one
pulling
the
weight
in the house. And then she realized, and he's all making these promises about he's going to help. And she's like, no, she's had those lies told to her before. And I found it real interesting that even after the kiss and he tried to fight Taj, she didn't run after him.
Yeah.
She kind of just stood there like, I think this whole thing with fighting for Danny is a way of fighting for herself, that despite what they did and despite how they were living or where they come from, if she mattered. And seeing now that he really didn't care about her like that. It was all about what he wanted for himself, keeping her as arm candy while he focused on being selfish. And now she may have a tendency of seeing somebody who's actually paying attention to her, and she's getting caught up in that emotion.
Wow. Interesting thought. That
mm-hmm.
I have not personally even thought of, but it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, what do you rate this episode?
I think I'll give it a 4 this time. I actually liked all the pivots that was happening with everyone. Even with CJ finally standing up for herself and trying to assert how she's feeling and how she wants to take a bigger role in the family. I like this episode.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your 2 cents.
Thank you for having me.
Have a blessed day.
Thank
you. All
right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. All right. So, what's with the chick? I love him, and I'm going to win him back. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
I believe y'all. I got to
tell
you.
What happened? Come
on.
When
she came with the threat, with the tell-all book, I was like, okay, typical chick, burnt, scorned, woo-woo, wah-wah. And then when she was talking to CJ, if she didn't seem like a stupid airhead, he'll understand when I get him. You're actually telling this to this man's daughter who was supposed to be your friend? I don't know, Shantese. I don't know. What?
That whole thing from, like you said, when they said that she's writing this book. Like, what are you going to write the book on? The different places y'all slept, you know, like, what is going to be in this book? Because, again, you know, you're coming after Corinne Steffens. You're coming after all these people who didn't put these tell-all books out. So the only thing that will grab any type of interest is the fact that this is supposed to be a man of God. Other than that, and with the way this world is moving, that ain't all that surprising nowadays. So how many copies do you think you fit in the cell? okay? Because he ain't the first bishop to get caught, as his wife said, just slinging it anywhere. So what are you getting ready to put in this book that's going to make your book jump off the shelf further than everybody else's? Like I said, you're coming behind. For those who don't know Corinne Stephens, that's the one that was labeled Superhead. And I think she gave herself that title also. And she told about how she slept with a lot of people, men in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you get ready to say that's going to have your books jump off the shelf faster and be more appealing than women have been doing this for years now? You know, this is their come up. This is how they make their money. Most of the time, they don't care about really telling the story, but they see how they can capitalize off of this financially. So that's what they do. With her standing there saying it, I thought that whole scene was just kind of like, especially when CJ was acting like she wanted to fight her. I was like, girl, you really didn't want to get at her because you could have been slapped her about 8 times already. I was like, what is this chase around this chair? Like, what is happening? Like, if you don't reach over that chair and just slap her nose off, like, oh my God, I was dying. I was dying. Like, she really didn't want to slap that girl because I'd have been got at her. But yeah, now, like you said, now you're bold enough to sit and say this to his wife and got shocked when you got shut down because the wife don't care about it being exposed anymore. So now it's like, dag, now I don't have any leverage. And now you're saying this to his daughter, and you don't realize how dumb you sound. Because even with her as a daughter being, you know, really disappointed in her father and really mad at you, it's like you still sound and look dumb. Like, man ain't even trying to. I'm not even coming to you because I'm mad my father left my mother for you. He don't want you. Like, men have left their wives for the mistress before. If he wanted you, boo, he would have been with you again by now. Like,
absolutely.
You know, again, you're not the first mistress. When men are serious about leaving their wives for the mistress, they've been and left already. The wife gets a phone call and says, I'm already over here. All right, it's done. He's still trying to fight for his marriage and his family. You're so delusional that you're not even paying attention to the fact that he's actually trying to fight for what he says that he wants, and it's not you. So, yeah, she just looked all kinds of retarded.
Stupid. Ains, as a man watching this, what do you say to yourself?
Man, scandalous, man. You know, okay, let me, the true style set you free. You know, so before you get to the daughter, you know, when, you know, she stood up at work, I guess daddy had paid her some money. Be like, all right, I got a job, I'm going to be here, blah, blah, blah. I can do, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so for Danita, you know, at first it seemed like, okay, she was trying to get her to the office. Because I guess, you know, I'll get to the office, I'm going to throw some hands. But he realized, you know, now that she's coming out clean, you know, all the dirt that would have been on her doesn't apply anymore. So it was like, you know, wait a minute. You trying to say you slept with my husband and you write a book? You did this,
right?
And that's what you said. All right, this is the story? Really? What you going with? All right. But you're right. Let's talk to the daughter when they, you know, standing face to face. And that little, you know, you do that little faint move. It's like, what, you going to do something? If you really want to do something, you would have did it right then and there. I want to wait for her to turn her back and walk around the table. Then I'm going to throw a thing of glass at her. You know, a face. Yeah. It wouldn't have got that far. You'd been right there in the face right there. So that was like, it was good, but it was like, okay, this is scripted. Because, you know, in real life, them hands would have been thrown right there, on the spot, right there.
That's right.
And she sounded so, like something, you know, oh, you know, he understand, I get him back. I mean, like, are you really that delusional? You know, you got really, people really that delusional. And I guess, you know what? All right, let's play devil's advocate here. So, I mean, I guess he was stringing her along. It's been like 2.5 years and stuff like this. And, you know, so maybe she was like, maybe she got a point. Like, I thought this was really going to happen. I thought this, you know, after 2 years, you know, I mean, it don't take 2 years for the people really to get to hook up. But he's been stringing her along for such a long time. And she's just, it's really, she really believes this. She's not, as they say, stay in your lane. She really thinks, oh, no, I'm going to move up from the side chick
right.
to the main chick.
Right.
You know, she started really believing that, you know. But the funny thing is that when she threw that vape, and because to me, and then all of a sudden, then he pop up. The second day.
I know. I'm like, where you come from?
Where you come from? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought coming. I was like, nah, where you pop up from?
For real.
I'm with you. Oh, we got our boy Serge on the line. Let's see what Serge has got to say. Good morning, Serge.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How you everybody doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
The part that got me thinking about was the part when Taj has finished talking to Essen, and she told him, "I love you, but you'd have to pay it back." And it just showed that, you know. Then later on, he goes talk to he goes do the performance with Rebel. And all of a sudden, after the performance finished, he's kissing a girl. And Zane came and like, yo, what you doing to my girl? His little short behind came. like he's about to do something to him. He's like, what you going to do? And Rebel told him to go away. But like the whole part where Essence had told him, I love you, is just showing that she started feeling more attached to him and, you know, being grateful towards him. But at the end, his heart is really longing for a Rebel.
Yeah. They've made that mm-hmm. connection a while ago, Serge. You're right. You're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. What else?
You guys see that happen in the first episode?
Say that again.
I said what?
I mean, you
what
can kind of see that happening from the first episode.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I knew that.
No, I knew that, but the part was that the
it finally came to fruition.
He just didn't care about what Essex had told him, because if in your head, if a woman told you she loves you, you know, like, you would be like, oh wow, she loves me, but he didn't really care about
right.
that. He just cared about going at the Rebel. The other part that got me is when I feel bad for the father, for the bishop. Because, you know, he's doing all the things that he's supposed to do, you know, like trying to get his family back. But everybody's against him because of the, you know, the truth came out. And he's looking like the bad guy. Well, he is the bad guy, but, you know, he's looking more like the bad guy. he's looking like more than the bad guy. Even his baby girl is against him. His son don't look at him the same way. He's like, damn, dad, like you messed up badly. Like, you over here, you killed, I'm thinking that you killed Rebel mom, I mean, homegirl that you slept with. Yeah. And even though the daughter don't even know about this part yet, and that's the funny thing, she doesn't know about him sleeping with Rebel, friend. Now, wait till she finds out. She'll be like, okay, Dad, I'm really done with you.
Yes. Wow. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, what do you rate this episode, Serge?
this episode was good, so I'm gonna give it a 3.9.
Yeah, you know.
My
man,
that's
that.
An
my man,
there you go.
That's an English answer, Serge. Oh my goodness! Oh, thank you, Serge. Thank you for joining us and giving us your 2 cents. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, there was one more thing I wanted us to stick a pin in before we get to our passes. Oh my goodness. Wait, I just saw it on my pad. I just saw it on my pad. I wanted us to talk about it. Okay. Somebody tell me I'm calling Daddy. Oh!
I was like, oh, get rid of Daddy. Get rid of, somebody put a hit out on Daddy.
Well, no, you can't do that. That's like, it's like Daddy is the godfather. I'm like, no, you can't get the help. You got
like,
a problem, go to the godfather, you know. Take care of that problem.
Daddy. I'm tired of hearing Daddy. Like, he don't have a name by now.
I'm like,
that's the name,
what
Daddy.
Like, why? Why? You're 90 years old.
Right.
And you're still calling Daddy in to solve your problem. But here's what I thought was interesting, and we got about four minutes. Here's what I thought was interesting. You call Daddy in, and now Daddy cares so little about you, he sticks the woman in your face as an answer to the problem.
And a listener just sent that in as a response, well, as a comment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he said, I'm mad at the father's solution to give her the job back. You don't care about your daughter. I'm glad Danita threw
it. No. How is that a resolution to the tell-all book coming out? Listen, here's my thing. Y'all are about 90 years old now. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen. It's different if you were in the prime of your life. These people ain't
pre-K.
In the comedy life. Huh?
It's different if you were in pre-K. And you said
it's time to call daddy. Right. My thing is, whatever your success is already but really pretty much behind you. The guy already told her, you still got people who listen to CDs and all that kind of stuff. The bishop is going to be out or in. It really don't matter. So they really don't have, in my opinion, they don't have a whole lot to lose. And on our way out, what do you have to say about, I'm calling Daddy.
Therefore they had to call the godfather. He had to do what he had to do. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised with, you know, it may not seem like the most ideal solution to put her right in your face and stuff like that, but I guess he was like, the point is, all right, we're going to give her a little bit of money, and you keep your mouth shut because you really ain't got nothing real tough to say, you know, and apparently he been dealing with family challenges before, so this is what his years of experience is telling him what to do. All right, give a little bit of money and shut up and be quiet over here and stuff like that. And, you know, it's apparently he's been calling the shots for years, no matter what, because apparently he put his own daughter to marry the pastor.
Right.
He said they didn't even know each other really like that. It almost seemed like an arranged marriage and stuff like that. So he's been calling the shots for her. It may not be in her best interest in the first place. This ain't nothing new. You know, putting in compromising situation. So, as you said, you know, I'm with the man that, you know, I hope that I could have loved us when she was talking to Caesar. You know, I wish I could, you know, basically loved Caesar more and loved him more as much as she loved Caesar. So it ain't nothing new. So the Godfather was doing what he had to do. He said, look, this is what it is. Deal with it. Yeah. So that's Daddy right there. He the man.
Pastor Steph is calling right back in. She got disconnected.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you, Ainsley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, so, if I hit his daddy one more time, oh, my gosh, someone get rid of daddy.
Yeah, really. I'm like, okay.
And I'm back.
Like,
I'm back.
I mean, and that's Louis Gossett Jr. playing that part. I would say I'd like to see his face again, you know. But,
yes, yes, yes. All right, Ainsley, so on a scale from 1 to 5, what do you give this episode? A whole number.
You know where I'm going. I know I'm going to hear from my brother, KL, but I'm doing it anyway. 4.5, all right? 4.5.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Shantice, you got 1 minute. It's time for the pastors. How would you like to close out? Because we already didn't heard how you feel about the daddy thing. Get rid of daddy. So what do you want to say in your closing today?
Well, I agree with Ainsley with you know, the feelings on the daddy. I give this episode a 4. The chair chase was funny. I think they kind of you know, leveled up a bit with everything, especially with the need to getting shut down. But we do have a quick comment from a listener. He sent in, why is no one talking about Danita finally being successful at intimidating someone? All this time she tried to boss up and everyone shut her down because of her dirt, but finally she got at Sasha and it landed and she had Sasha looking stupid instead of her walking away looking stupid. And then another listener sent in, yes, the best acting I've seen from her.
All righty. Points well taken. Good point, listeners. Thank you so much. Oh, Shantice, Ainsley, thank you so much for joining me today and your contribution, giving your 2 cents. And we
thank you.
You have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Pleasure. It's a pleasure.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Always good to have you two on. All right. Where's my girl, Pastor Charlene? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. How you doing, my love?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good, that's good. Oh, we got an episode that was locked, stocked, and loaded. What stuck out to you, Pastor Charlene?
Well, a lot. Now, this one was good for me. This one was good for me. And when you was asking what was Kirk Franklin's name, I knew that. I was like, Dwayne, I got a name right. So I just wanted to share. well, it was a lot. A lot of stuff that has been said already. So I said, well, let me go in another direction. Let's talk about the family meeting.
Okay, okay.
So Taj, I hope I got it right. He calls the family meeting because he out there in the street, everybody talking about his father, right? So once again, everybody talking about, you know, y'all was just talking about the daddy, because daddy is the cleanup man. Daddy is the one that have everybody do what he wants them to do. So in the meeting, she had knew already, that it was going to be about him sleeping with all of these women. Now, by her going into the bathroom, because it's going to connect, by Yolanda, because I can't remember her name, going in the bathroom and finally talking to God, and just as well as how Bishop went and he talked to God, right? So now when the family meeting comes, she already knew what it was going to be about, but I was hoping that it was going to flip around on her, Yolanda, because now all the dirt is coming. All the dirt is coming. And I felt sorry for the daughter because she's in the dark of everything, and Sasha is her good friend. She confided everything into Sasha. So when this family meeting came, everybody looking crazy.
All right. You brought up like 100 things, Pastor Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Where my Pastor K out to streamline this thought you had here? Where's Pastor K? I don't even know if he watched the show, the episode. Did you get a chance to watch the episode, Pastor K?
Perfect. Good morning. How you doing? Everybody's all right? Good morning.
Didn't get a chance to know whether you watched the episode first. Then I'm going to say good morning. Don't tell me.
Yes.
I'm in Denita mode.
Remember, Denita about to get shut down. Cut it out now.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was tardy today because I was watching the episode. So, yeah, I did get to see it.
Okay. So I asked Pastor Charlotte for one thing. She gave me 9. So you stick a pin in any one of them 9 that she talked about.
Well, I think for me it was the fact that the daughter came to confront her friend, you know, just to get clarity as of why. And the friend was like, you know, you really don't matter. You know, and this just proves that a man will fail you all the time. You know, here I confided in you. Here, you know, I told you my deepest secrets, my deepest, you know, feelings, you know, and you just didn't care. So at this point, I'm thinking you just used me to get on the inside. You know, so, I think that will stick out to me, you know, a lot.
Okay. Yes, Pastor Charlene, I do know you were kind of pulling it all in. You still brought up 9 things, but you were saying, I got you. I didn't lose sight of what you were doing over there. I didn't lose sight. Something else that stuck out to you, Pastor Charlene. Tell me.
Just that vase, she should have did more than that. I'm with Shantice. She should have just leaped over, stepped on that chair, and just got her. Because she was my friend, and I confide in you, and you sleeping with my father. I thought, if you take that personal, that right there, they ain't do enough on that one.
Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. It would be you that stuck a pin in the fight. I'm with Brother Al. Thug life. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor Kale, what stuck out to you?
Well, I'm just trying to understand. Was the pastor promoting Christian fighting? I'm just trying to understand. Was that what we're doing now? That's kind of crazy.
But we're talking about Pastor Charlene here, Pastor Kale. So, you know.
Right.
We talk about Pastor Charlene.
Anything can happen.
All I say, this is what I say. I thought they should have did a little bit more. I didn't say what they should have did. See how y'all just went straight for just killing her? I didn't say that.
I'm yawning, Pastor Charlene. I got an episode that's loaded with stuff. And you bring me back to the fight episode, fight scene. You know what? I'm going over here. It's okay. We understand that you got to get that out. It's okay. Pastor KL, what stuck out to you?
The fact that you know, when her and Kirk Franklin had that moment, and she was like, well, can you interpret my dream? And she didn't want to receive the interpretation. You know, because at one point she said, well, I could just go to God myself. Well, you should have. He's telling you, you got to deal with truth. Your whole life, your whole legacy been a lie. You know, and God is no longer pleased with this. You know, so he's about to cut you off. And you don't want to believe him. You know, you still in denial because you want to be great.
Absolutely. And we touched on that. You know, there were so many things in that conversation that was really twisted. Pastor Sharlin, in that conversation, what stuck out to you?
How you came to me and you asked me, but you don't want to accept what I'm giving you. And a lot of times that's what a lot of people do. You just don't want to accept it because you don't want to see, be able to be exposed. But God gives you a chance for you to expose yourself and to get it right before he exposes you the way that you don't want to be exposed. So I'm glad that, you know, on that behalf, when he was saying it to her, it jiggled something into her finally for her to be able to be truth.
No, I disagree, because here's what I want to point out, Pastor Charlotte. When she said repent, she said, all right, I repent, I'm sorry. That chick had no remorse during that whole conversation. And I wanted to have that highlighted. I wanted to talk about that with you two so much, I highlighted it. I'm going to give you the first shot at this, Pastor Charlotte, you know, to comment on this. You know, when like you both have said, and like we talked earlier with Ainsley and Shantice, you know, everybody's saying that, you know, hey, you went to Dwayne for this, you know, interpretation, and when he gave it to you, you were in complete denial. You shut him down. You know, God wouldn't say that and all this kind of stuff. And when God finally got to you and said, you know, well, you have to repent. You know, okay, I'm repenting. I'm sorry. How is that so typical? And actually, let's leave it there, because I'll leave that other part for Pastor KL. How is that so typical of us? You know, where we're looking at it, and we're just not sorry, but we feel like we're forced. If we say it, it'll make some difference.
Absolutely, you're right. I must have nodded out on that piece. But but you're right. We take it as it's not all right, I did it, I'm sorry, and really don't have no remorse for it. And a lot of times when we do that, you know, a lot of people do that. That's what I want to say. A lot of people do that and think that it's okay, but you're not sincere. You're not really sorry for what you did, of repenting, of giving God your all in all and being able to lay it before his feet. You're just saying it to move on to the next. Okay, I said it came out of my mouth, and that should be good enough. And it's not good enough for God, you know, because we already know that you want to do it again, which I know that he stated that she was going to repeat herself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor KL, let's go back a couple of episodes when the bishop came to her and he said, Danita, really, you burned down the club? And she was like, well, I didn't mean to. I set the other thing on fire in court. You know, well, I'm sorry. And now when you're talking to Dwayne, your dream interpreter, you come with the same stupid, sorry, lame, well, I'm sorry. This is why I said to Pastor Charlotte, I disagree. She wasn't moved during this time. How does that indicate that she's not moved? There's no change at this conversation.
Well, first of all, she's one-track minded. You know, it's all about her. And anytime someone says anything contrary to what she feels, she tries to dismiss them by giving them seemingly what they want to hear. You know, all right, I repent. You know, this is what you want me to say? Okay, can we move on? Is my kids okay? Give me the answers that I want to know. You know, not what you want to tell me. You know, I just don't want you to tell me the truth. You know, I want you to appease me. And that's basically what it is. Just appease me. Let me know, you know, as the interpreter, that God still loves me. You know, what you did, yeah, God will always love you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. However, you can't continue to make a mockery out of the word. And that's what happened. Anytime somebody says something contradictory or contrary to what she wants to hear, she gives you what you want so they can she can dismiss you, and hopefully you'll move on to what she wants you to say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now you kind of segued into this confession, this bathroom mirror confession, breakdown, repentant moment, whatever you want to call it. Well, first of all, I'm mad because he interrupted her. I was so annoyed. Should I have been annoyed? You know, when you walk up on somebody and they're in that moment. Now, he doesn't know she's quote-unquote confessing, you know, from what we saw. She was just in the mirror, kind of quote-unquote laying it all out. But before we get into what she said, I don't know. It just annoyed me. I felt like I wouldn't walk up on a person like that. You know, if you're in that moment, I don't care who you are, whether it was Shantice or Tamaja or Shawnice or one of the congregants, or to me, it's a private moment. And, you know, although that was your mother and blah, 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 I don't think into that moment. I don't know. What do you think, Pastor Charlotte?
I think that because she's probably never repented before and he never seen that side of her, he just walked in and just thinking that she was just crying and just talking. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as because of how she's been. So if you go with your norm, that's how I took it as. He just thought that she was in there just crying, not really pouring her heart out and giving her that space. Because he wanted to be sorry and he wanted to console her in her moment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't disagree. I just feel like you shouldn't have stopped it. I agree. I agree. I do believe. I agree with your that he thought that, you know, she was. It was just a breakdown moment for her. I just don't. I don't know. Maybe if you listened to what she was saying, and I think that's what my thing is. You know, I have to tell you, I agree with you 100%. I was like, oh, gosh. When he walked up on her, he's thinking she's just crying. She's just in distress. But if he had been listening to what she was saying when he walked up, I think he would have caught what it really was. And that's why I was like, okay, so why did he interrupt her? I don't know, but I do agree with you. I actually happen to very much agree with you. Pastor KL, what's your thought before we go into the other part?
Yeah, I don't agree. I think whatever corridor, whatever hallway you was in, you had to hear her, and you had to hear what she was saying. You know, so, I mean, perhaps by the time you got to the bathroom, she wasn't saying any of the repenting words, but you had to have heard the dialogue. You know,
right.
So at that point, that's a space between you and God.
Right.
You shouldn't have interrupted that thing.
Right.
You know, you should have just let it carry on. And then, you know, as she's finished, you could have consoled her. But you had to have heard the dialogue, you know, to make you even want to come back. Why would you go to the bathroom where she is? There had to be something that caught your attention to make you go that way. You know,
and even
for that, I believe that she got to a point where she repented simply because she was losing her virtue. She was losing her gift.
Right,
because she was in the bathroom singing, and she kept on finding herself losing it.
Right.
You know, so at this point, your back is against the wall. Your career is against the wall. Your legacy is against the wall. I don't even know that your repentance was honest. Because had you sang, I need thee, oh, I need thee, in the way that you always sing it, would you have repented? Would you have come to the point where I've done wrong?
Mm. That's where I was going. That's the second level. That's what I said before we get to the next thing. And to just to kind of nail what you were saying, that's what I was saying to Pastor Charlotte. I do believe he thought it was a breakdown moment, but if you remember, when he walked up, he stopped for a second. That's why I said, had he listened to what she was saying, it wasn't a breakdown moment. She may have looked like that's all she was doing was crying, but from what she was saying, you could tell that this was a conversation between her and God. And I was just annoyed. I'm like, yo, were you? You just stop right there and heard what she said. How are you walking up on her and interrupting that moment? So I think for all of us who are listening, we need to make sure we're very careful when things like this are going on. Because, you know, I agree. Now that segues into the next point I was going to make. This, to me, it was a fake repentance. And I agree with 100% with Pastor KL. This was all from I Need Thee. Her voice was going. It goes back to the conversation that she had with Dwayne. And she looks in the mirror and goes, okay, what? What do you want? Even that was all snotty and stink. So, you know, and listen, I didn't been there. I didn't been there where I'm like, okay, God, it's something you trying to get to Stephanie. What is it you're trying to say to me? What is it? But it wasn't just, okay, what you want? What you want? You know, it was like, okay, like you said, Pastor Kale, she's losing everything now. So it's like now, okay, I'm losing it. And to me, there's a difference. Now, you two can comment, you know, on this particular part if you like. But to me, there's a difference. There's a difference between, and I can't remember, it was Angel who brought it up. The bishop is different. It's two very different dynamics in my view, in my hearing, that's going on. He was at a point where he realizes this is just not right. And, you know, yes, we all talked about the fact that when the siren and the lights were going off on the police car, it jolted him and scared him, and he moved into that vein of, you know, I'm sorry and repenting. That's all of us. That's all of us. When we didn't hit our rock bottom low, and when things have happened, then we're going to the Lord. That's very typical. With her, it's just a different dynamic. It's still the snotty, okay, I'm going to give up, and now you're going and you're telling Caesar, I'm going to do this. It just didn't have to be the air of real, true repentance. I don't know, Pastor Charlotte, what you think?
You're right. We all have been there to where that something would face us that will make us want to go in that direction. With her being said of, will she go back and act the same? Yeah, because she's not all the way there. Where she, with her voice being, when you touch her voice, because, of course, you know he's going to get something that's going to catch your attention. It could be anything, right? So with her, the voice that she and her name, you know, having a scandal name out there, you know, so it's a lot that she's riding on. Was it fake? I think that she just don't know totally how to repent. I don't think that this is going to be the last. Something else is about to happen where that either her name or her voice totally goes, you know, where she can't do anything. That might have been her last time saying it, you know, for her to get to that truly repentance.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Yes.
As I said, you know, I don't think it was a true repentance. I think she was at her last rope, you know, and she was about to lose. It was almost like Samson. You know, you're about to lose all your strength. You're about to lose it all. You know, and she was scared. And she went to God out of fear, not out of really being sorry. Okay, let's go here. So here I go. I have a bad report card. And I go to God out of fear of getting a beating at home. Not that I'm really sorry that I failed my class. But we come up with all this stuff about I won't do it again, I'll study more, I'll do all this stuff. And God already knew we ain't going to study no more than we studied the last time. But out of fear of the consequences, we go to God. And that's what she did. She felt herself losing, and the consequence was she was no longer going to be that star, no longer going to be that image, no longer going to be that voice. So now let me go to God, and God, if you just let me get through this, here come the promises.
All right, right, right. Very good, lady and gentleman. We got a comment from a listener. Let's see what they've got to say. Good morning, Sachi. What you got?
Okay, so we have – oh, sorry. I'm in the wrong one. Okay, let's talk about when Danita approached Caesar. She finally comes clean and told him she has been living with a man all these years and she didn't know him, and expresses her feelings for Caesar, and he expresses his feelings for her. So what are they going to do with the feelings?
That's not this thing on my list, but it's the next thing on. That's number two on my list here. Yes, I want to try to get to that. We got a few minutes. I want to try to get to that. I want to try to get to that. Anything else, Shati?
That's all for now.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's move quickly. So the one thing I want to talk about before we get there, you are repentant, and yet you say, I'm filing for divorce. Like, he's the only one who has done something wrong in this equation. And the reason why I say the part that the listener just brought up is number two, because you just got finished telling Caesar that you had spent your entire marriage looking in a man's face, thinking and hoping it was, you know, hoping to love him the way she has always loved Caesar. But yet you're repentant? How are you repentant with those two things looming over your head? Because those are blatant things. Now, we all know that when we give our life to God, you know, over the years, things creep up. You're like, dang, I didn't know I was all jacked up in that area. And, Lord, I didn't know I was jacked up. But come on now. Come on now. You're repenting, but you fail to forgive your husband, even though you've got. Now, here's the thing. This is why I say pay attention. We all know the Bible tells us that lust, just lusting in your heart, is the sin. You ain't got to lust and reach out and go sleep with somebody. That's not the only sin, but it should even be in your heart. It's sin. That's where the sin begins. So here she is. Here she is. She's blaming him. She's holding it against him for touching, but yet she has still sinned in her love for Caesar, despite the fact that she's lived a lie this entire marriage. Pastor Charlotte, please tell me if you are truly repentant when this can go on.
No. And once again, like I said a few minutes ago, she's doing what she knows. She's never been taught how to really repent. Why do you say that? Look at the family history. So some people read the word, can quote the scripture, right? But they're not living it. They're not having that real relationship where that they get convicted.
Okay, I got a question. I got a question because you said this before. How are you taught to repent? That you repent, it comes from you. It comes from your heart. It's your personal breakdown. In my voice,
exactly.
Because you said it twice. She's doing what she knows. Nobody taught her to repent. Nobody can teach you. And from what I understand, no one can teach you to repent. So the two don't pair up for me. So before you go there, Pastor Charles, can you teach someone to be repentant?
No, not at all. Just like to be honest with you, you can't teach someone how to pray. You know, you can give them the foundations and the fundamentals, but the prayer, you know, and the repentance is personal. It's what you feel. It's what you're sorry for. It's what you need. You know, that's personal between you and God. There is no homiletics or no Bible study or no any program that you have in your church that's going to teach you how to do these things. You know, you have to have a personal walk with God, you know, and again, if there's no conviction, there's no conversion, you know, so you have to have a personal walk with God, and you have to realize that what I did was not pleasing to the Father. And then you have to wholeheartedly apologize. How many times we hit our cousin and say, go say sorry. And we just say sorry because you said go say sorry. That's not true, sorry.
Right.
That's not true, relations. Right. You just did it because somebody told you to do it. And if you're teaching people how to repent, they're just saying stuff what you told them to say. It's not personal.
All right. So, Pastor Charlotte, I just wanted to stick a because, like I said, that was the second time you said it, and that it was a little disturbing to me because, you know, the point of her doing what she knows is one thing, because I agree with you. So, you know, again, I just had this conversation yesterday, ironically, where people have done things for so long, they think it's normal, and they assume because it's natural that it's correct. And, you know, we kind of move in that sometimes. But for us to believe or to say that, you know, she's doing what she's saying because nobody taught her how to be repentant, that might be where she is, because she's thinking somebody needs to teach her how to be repentant. But the connection between I'm looking in a mirror, I didn't broke down, I'm sorry, God, I love my kids, please help me with my children, blah, blah, blah. But then you go to your husband and say, I filed for divorce. How does that say repentant, Pastor Charlotte?
I thought I answered that piece. It's not.
No, I'm just rhetorical. That's kind of rhetorical. Not that you didn't answer. That's just talking to you. So you didn't answer.
I'm sorry, say that piece again?
I was saying you did answer. I was just kind of, it was kind of rhetorical, you know, just kind of putting a stamp on how do we go there after we're supposedly repented. Just kind of opening up the floor for you to continue talking.
Oh, okay. Well, let me clear this piece up first. What I was saying of teaching you, because when you first come in, if you're not Bible study, Sunday school, whatever one that you have in the ministry, if you are not reading God's word and understanding God's word, it still gives people to do what they want to do. When I say of teaching them, meaning to understanding what the Bible is saying to them, what it's saying, well, saying to all of us, actually. So meaning that in the mix of, yes, it is a personal relationship. A lot of times, some people are not taught that it's a personal relationship. They just come in and they go out. They reading the word, but that's it. They just doing it on Sunday. They are not spending that time. So that's what I meant by of taking the time out of making sure that you understand. But the only way that you can get that, if I come to you, if I'm in your ministry and I come to you and let you know I'm not really understanding it. I'm not really knowing what you mean by how do I repent. So tell me, what am I supposed to do? Have the relationship with God. God corrects us in everything of wrong that we do. So that's what I meant by that. Now, going forward.
Thank you.
You understood that? Okay, going forward. I'm sorry.
No, I said I understand what you're saying.
Oh, okay. So now going forward, dang, I forgot your question.
No, we were talking about, like I said, initially, you know, we're talking about her repentant moment. And if you're honest, listen to the things she was saying in her breakdown. Oh, my children, my this, my that, I'm sorry, God, and I want to do this right, and blah, blah, blah. And 5 minutes later, you are telling your husband you filed for a divorce as though you've done nothing wrong. You know, yes, Shell, you've been swinging it all over the place, you know, for this amount of time. And, you know, yes, he admits that, you know, yes, I've been loose. I've done this. And, you know, he's been trying to amends, but she's not reading this. That's another thing. You know, you're repenting, but now you're not picking up his apologies. You're not picking up his, you know, repentance, his remorse, his efforts. You're not picking up none of this. You're shut down. But you're repenting. Then you go and you speak to Caesar and you tell him, I've been looking at a man all these years hoping to love him the way I loved you. How does that say repentance? How does that say remorse when you're living like this? And this is what you're openly saying. You're not catching this. Now, I do know, I go back to say, I do know that, you know, we all ain't, you know, we all don't get the revelation as soon as we get the breakdown. As soon as we get that initial, oh, my gosh, my life is wrong. But come on. You kind of take a standstill. And you don't nail everybody else to the wall. And you go to him and you want forgiveness. You're going to Caesar and you want forgiveness. But your husband is going to be kicked to the curb in a divorce movement. Pastor KL, am I like losing my marbles?
No, not at all. Not at all. So you want forgiveness, but you won't forgive. So how does that work? You know, how is it that you know, I always say when my wife and I argue or we disagree, and she wants it to be her point, I said, well, what makes you better than me? You know, what makes your feelings so much better than my feelings? So here you are, you going to a man who's not your husband, and you praying for his forgiveness. You begging for his forgiveness. And the one who has admitted all his flaws, all his faults, and still says, in spite of all of that, I still want to make this work, but you can't forgive him. That just doesn't work. It's just one-sided. It just doesn't work. And again, it's all about her. This whole repentance has been all about her. So she is cleaning her guilt so that in her mind, if I say all these things and make my way clear and clean from all these things, then God will continue to use me.
All right, Pastor Charlene. What you got over there in your closing?
I'm sorry?
I said, what you got in your closing?
Okay, in my closing, I just want everybody to know that just have the relationship with God. And when you go sincerely to him, be sincere what you say. Be able to really call on him and know that, first of all, your own mistake. And if you don't know, ask him, because he will show you. And I am a true believer because he has done it for me. And with that, don't go in with the attitude of self. If forgiveness is for everybody, you have to forgive yourself and you have to forgive everyone. So that's why you'll be able to move forward in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. Pastor Kale, what's your closing? What you got for us?
Well, in the closing is, you know, we all come short. We all fall short. That's not a secret. We were all born in sin. That's not a secret. You know, we have to die daily, you know, to ourselves. You know, that's not a secret. You know, and God gives you the opportunity to do it over again, new mercies every day. But you have to be able to see yourself for who you are. You're not as great as you think you are. Remember, God used the ass. So your singing is not that deep. Your preaching is not that deep. You have not arrived. And we still fall short. Even the great of man fall short. You know, man will fail you all the time. So at some point, you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror with the makeup off, with the tie off, with the wig off and just see yourself as plain Jane, plain Tom, and say, what must I do to get to the next level? As the young folks say, what must I do to level up? Because some of us think that we're in a position or in a plateau that we're really not in. And the world is laughing at us constantly on a daily basis because we really have not arrived. And God is saying, I want to use you, but I need you to cut some of this stuff out. I need you to change your ways. I need you to move from certain people. You know, as was told earlier, just the thought of it, just the thought of the lust is a sin. So a man thinketh, so is he. So sometimes we have to change our mindsets, our mind thoughts, change our ways, change our conversations, change our direction. And we have to repent when we find that we're not on the same road that God has put us on. The steps of a good man is ordered by God. Continue to allow God to order your steps and stop trying to do it your way. God has already ordained you for such a time like this, meaning that he already has the plan for you. He already knows where he wants you to go. It's not anything that you've done. It's what he's given you. He has called you to the next level. But in order to get to the next level, you have to do the thing that he wants you to do the way he wants you to do it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor KL. Pastor Charlotte, Pastor KL, we thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Amen.
You do
you
the
well.
Same, both of you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's hold hands and hold hearts. Lot said. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. And we can ask you, come to you, present ourselves to you for anything, God, before we say thank you. Thank you because you've been so faithful, so good, so great, so amazing, God. Even standing in our sinful zone, you have been so faithful. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just forgiving us. When we haven't forgiven, when we can't see the forest for the trees, when we're still hateful, when we're just relentless in our mission and our passion, you are still a faithful God. And Lord, as we've talked here today about so many things, we want to pray to you, dear Heavenly Father, and ask you to just open up our eyes. Open up our ears, open up our hearts, open up our spirit, God, to let you replace all of these things, that we would use the words that you would use first, that your words would be our words, your will, your way would be our will, our way. And Lord, when we see that we've given in and given up and we're laying ourselves on the altar and, you know, we're surrendering, that's true. It's honest. And it's from the very depth of our heart and our spirit, God. That we are, truly laying it all out before you. There's nothing held back. There's no second guessing. There's no limitations. We're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to allow us to see us for who we really are. We love to paint the picture that we're not that bad. Well, God, we're that bad. And let us just be willing and courageous enough to present ourselves before you so that you could truly reveal to us who we are and that we would be receptive as to what you say to us, that we would not reject your word, we would not reject the individual that you sent to us, we would not reject the truth. Your word says the truth shall make us free, and that's on so many different levels. And we thank you, God, for so many different levels and avenues of the truth. That we just can't beat you in your giving. that there is no way in the world we could ever give the way you have given us. Your mercies and grace are just amazing. And we thank you, God, for not shutting us down, for not cutting us off. You know, there's so much to glean from all of the discussion from this entire episode, God. So many tentacles and wings that we can really put our hands on and learn from, God. And we thank you. We thank you that we're finally seeing a turning point, that we can actually now, again, put ourselves in that gap, in that space, and see what level are we on? That we're not just rating and judging everyone else, assessing everyone else, but that we're really looking in that mirror and we're asking, what are you trying to give me, God? We don't have an attitude. We're not angry. We're not resentful that you're trying to reach us, because your word says that you correct us, that you chastise us because you love us and you call us your own, and that you always reserve the option of not touching us at all. You always reserve that option, that once you've given us, because your word says that everyone will have an opportunity. But once you've given it, you have the option of making the decision that I've done what I'm going to do. But God, you just keep on giving. Oh, you just keep on giving. How can we say thank you? Because you're just that great a God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being relentless. Oh, thank you, Father. I pray, God, that we would look and see ourselves in one shape, one form, one shape, one form, one fashion. That we would be jolted into either fixing it or making it better, turning it around or improving it. Because we all have room for improvement. So let us not believe that we can get nothing out of this, but that we would use this as a blessing. As much as we've seen that has turned us off, as much as we've seen that has just been, I don't want to deal with it, as much as we've seen that we don't want to watch it anymore, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Because it was a turning point here. And the challenge is to those of us who are viewing. Where are you? Are you truly repentant? Or are you not? Thank you. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the challenge. Ooh, thank you for the challenge. You're so wonderful. We can't thank you enough. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for sending your son to die for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. You know, I'm thinking about this repentance thing. And regardless of how repentance is introduced to you in your Bible study, in your sermon, in your personal, you know, one-to-one, maybe a counseling session, you know, how it's given to you. When it happens, it happens. And when it truly happens, it truly happens. And only you can really attest to that really happening. Only you can attest to what that really means.
for you. But it has to be real, and it has to be genuine. And again, we're looking at a snapshot here of two individuals who say that they're repentant, who want to, quote unquote, make it right. And you have one that looks and appears, and you know, in everything that he does, there's a genuineness in all of that. And you have another individual where, even when she goes to, you know, make things quote unquote right, as Pastor Kale said, it's still self-serving. Still self-serving. It's about her. And in repenting, in your repentant moment, in that true essence of repentance, it ain't about you. It's about the Father and the Son. It's about them. It's about making things right first between you and the Lord. That's your first, that's that. You know what, God, I ain't been doing this right. I thought I had, you know, a breakdown. I thought I understood this thing, but no, I truly understand it. And when you walk forward after that, it's going to show. It's going to show. Because even in that conversation that takes place between you and the Lord, he's going to do some things. Ooh, he's going to be working on you. Ooh, he's going to be enhancing some things. Oh, see, I can attest to the work of God. See, you feel when things begin to shift. You feel when things become real. You feel when things are really taking a change. You feel when you said it 9 months ago and how it felt then and when you're standing now. What's happening to you and what's going on in you and how things look and all the things that begin to shift. And as you go forward and you begin to correct some wrong, oh, there's going to be some genuineness right there. It's not going to be self-serving. It's no longer about me. See, it used to be about me, but now that I'm repenting, this ain't got nothing to do with me. I come to you because I need to make it right. I've been stealing your money for decades. I've come up on your back saying it was me, but ultimately it was you. See, that's what goes on. It ain't got nothing to do with all this other stuff. You don't shut a person out and refuse to forgive them. You go to divorce court when you've been loving someone else all this time. See, it's not imbalanced like that, because you begin to see, I've been loving someone else and you've been touching someone else and we're kind of doing the same thing. So I praise God for understanding what true repentance is, because there's a lot to be said for how you move forward when that really happens in your life. Understand, as Pastor Charlotte said, it's that relationship. You can't be taught it, but you know it. And it is exemplified in your action. Make it happen. Make it right with God. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my brother Ainsley, joining us today. And I want to thank you for adding in your two cents and just helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now or enhance and deepen your relationship with God, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wild Wednesday, God spare our life. I love you.